first verse says, "Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her wisdom?" This whole chapter is dealing with the wisdom and wisdom's instruction. And we know that God's wisdom is the Lord Jesus Christ. God made Christ's wisdom unto us. And you know, and he's the very wisdom of God. He, by him, we see how God can be just and justifier in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then God turned around and made Christ unto us wisdom, righteousness, redemption. And I tell you what, it's through him we have any understanding, if we have any at all. But it says, "Doth not wisdom cry?" Wisdom cries out. And what it does, it proclaims, it preaches. It preaches. And what it preaches is the everlasting gospel, the eternal gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that gospel shows men the way of peace, the way of acceptance, the way of eternal heaven. We just sung that, "May I reach my God, my heaven, my all. When I reach my home, my heaven, my all." And that's what the gospel teaches us. It teaches us that we have an eternal place to go, and happiness, eternal happiness and eternal joy. That's why wisdom cries. Truth doesn't whisper. Satan comes and whispers in person's ear. And the gospel don't look out for a dark corner over here. Paul said this thing wasn't done in a corner. But the gospel, wisdom, Christ, truth doesn't whisper, but it puts forth its voice loudly. And wants everybody to hear it. And I tell you this, the gospel, the truth of the light of our Lord Jesus Christ will stand any test, anywhere, anytime. Yep, I'll tell you it will. It'll stand any light or any inspection anybody gives it.
Yeah.
It certainly will. And I'm not ashamed. That's why Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of it." And then look at in verse 2 and 3, our Lord's voice. Again, "She standeth in the top of high places, by the way in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors." Now, he talks about, you know, speaking, crying out. Our Lord's voice is first and foremost heard in his word. That's the first place you hear God's word. And hear the voice of Christ is in his word. You hear it from his prophets. You hear it, our Lord Jesus preached the gospel in his own person. He looked at him and said, you know, Philip said, "Show us the Father and it'll satisfy us." "Philip, have I been such a long time with you and you've not seen the Father? I and the Father are one. If you're looking at me, you're looking at the Father. You want to know the way? I'm the way. You want to know truth? I'm the truth. You want life? I've got it. And me alone." And I tell you what, you know, he preached the gospel in his own person and the apostles and preachers. And the gospel's supposed to be proclaimed to all from high places. We all high places. To all men, whether no matter, and you know, our Lord Jesus, he went up unto a mountain. Matthew 5, he went up unto a mountain and he sat down on that mountain. The disciples gathered around him and then he preached unto them the Sermon on the Mount. He's sitting on a mountainside. He's in a high place. And I tell you, that's what we need to be in a high place. Preach to the people in the high place. Then it says, "Between the paths, by the pathways." Or where the roads cross. That's what he's talking about, where the roads cross. And then at the gates. He said, at the gates, set by the gate. And that means gates of the temple. You know, they had all the gates into the temples, and those men would gather around the temple and preach the gospel. And it says, in the city, in the entry of the city. Go in the city and preach the gospel. And then he says, coming in at the doors. That means coming in with a private home where people live in their own homes. And I tell you, then look what he says there in verse 4. Oh, this is such a blessed verse. "Unto you, O men, I call. My voice is to the sons of men." You know, when we preach the gospel, We preach it to all men. Anybody that'll listen, that's what we're going to preach to them. Huh? The reconciliation that's in Christ, being reconciled to God Almighty. You know, we were enemies. And how was we reconciled? We didn't reconcile ourselves to God. We couldn't do that. Well, how was reconciliation made? Through our Lord Jesus Christ offering himself as a sacrifice in our place. He broke down that enmity in our hearts by the gospel. And I tell you, brother, and he says, here, go, and this redemption, the blood shedding of our blessed Lord. And he says, you go preach to the fallen sons of Adam, to all men. I call. And I tell you, it's God that has to call them. But we tell men, if anybody's thirsty, let him come. Huh? And all to hear the voice of Christ is to all the sons of Adam, all to the sons of men, if we just get an opportunity to tell them. Excuse me. Then look in verse 5. This is so obvious. Oh, ye simple, understand wisdom. And you fools, be of an understanding heart. You know, the gospel came. Salvation came by the Lord Jesus Christ, who's the wisdom of God. And it came in a mystery. Do you know the Jews didn't know it when he came? We didn't know it when he came. And it was a mystery that had been hid from all ages. The mystery of God being made incarnate, the mystery of Christ coming here, assuming human nature, the mystery that he would live the sinless, holy, and perfect life, the mystery that he would offer himself to God without spot and without blemish. Now that was as unknown to me and you as anything that could be unknown. And I tell you, it's the highest wisdom to know Christ and him crucified. But all men by nature, look what he says, simple understand wisdom. Oh, you simple, understand it. You fools, be of an understanding heart. All men by nature are simple and are fools.
Yeah.
Without understanding of spiritual truth, they don't have any understanding at all. But when Christ comes, and Christ sets himself up in a man's heart, and Christ makes himself known, He gives understanding to the will and the purpose that's revealed in Christ himself. You know, that's why he says, the Jews, the scriptures tells us that the hidden wisdom of God, they didn't know that hidden wisdom of God, or they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Who's it hid from? Our Lord said to you, I thank thee, O Father, thou hast hid these things. Who's hid? They're hid. And where in the world are you going to get them from? You got to get it from the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Ain't no place else to get it. Over in Ephesians 1, it says, he made known unto us the mystery of his will, being predestinated according to the good pleasure of his will. And then look what he says in verse 6. Here, for I will speak of excellent things, and the open of my lips shall be right things. Well, when you talk about Christ, you talk about the gospel. Tell me anything that excels it. Tell me anything that excels the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell me anything excels the knowledge of knowing Christ. Tell me anything that any person that excels Christ. Any knowledge that excels Christ. Huh? Look at any covenant. Look at any laws. You tell me anything that excels him. Huh? Oh my. And I tell you, in knowledge and light and understanding, the gospel excels anything in this world. And Christ does. And I tell you, you're talking about the author. Look at the author of the gospel. God Almighty himself in the person of his Son. Oh my, look at the content of it. Look at all the promises contained in it. And then he said, he speaks right things. He said, my lips shall speak, my mouth is going to speak of right things. What does that mean? What can he can do? He cannot say anything but what's right. He cannot speak the word of God without it being right. Oh, everything he says and everything he did, he manifested the truth. He was the truth. He is the truth. And he manifested the truth. Every time he opened his mouth, it's true. And I tell you, this is why the gospel is so important. And that's why it's so important that we know the gospel, believe the gospel, know Christ, and believe Christ, and trust Christ. And this is so important is because, beloved, by nature, we're not that way. And you know, and if you always stay with him, if a man starts compromising the gospel in any way to try to get somebody to believe it, then he's just thrown the gospel away.
That's right.
You cannot compromise any part of the gospel.
No.
You cannot compromise any part of Christ. No, if nobody ever gets converted, we can't do that. We can't do it. Our Lord, he's told the truth. He told the truth. And I tell you, out of his mouth, truth flowed. And then look at verse 7 and 8. Again he says, for my mouth shall speak truth. When I open my mouth, truth's coming out of it. Nothing but the truth of God. And then look what else he says there. In verse 7, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Oh my. You imagine what comes out of our mouths, how, and the things that come out of me and mine, how abominable it is to Christ and to the Lord. And all the doctrines of Christ, they all come from the Scriptures, and they agree with the Scriptures. The Scriptures agree with that. And look what he says in verse 8. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. His mouth agrees with righteousness and brings righteousness and tells the necessity of us having a righteousness. And the righteousness has to be not one of our own. It has to be one given to us, because we certainly don't have one of our own. And now this is the righteousness that he's talking about now. All my mouths are in righteousness. There's nothing froward, perverse in my tongue. You know, I was listening to a fellow the other day, and he was preaching on progressive sanctification. And you know, I sometimes think I need to stop. Shirley and I was going by church the other day, and the guy's putting his signs up and all that. And I said, I need to stop and go back and talk to that guy. And Shirley said, well, it won't do any good. He said, you know, all you'll do is make him mad and upset yourself too. So, you know, but that's the truth. You know, you can talk yourself blue in the face, and if God don't open a man's heart, it's not going to be open. And that's why he said, a fool. Oh, you fools, be of understanding. You simple-minded, be of understanding. Where's a fool and simple-minded going to get an understanding? He's not born with it. It's got to be given to him. It's got to be brought to him. Then in verse 9, but now look at this now. They're all plain to him that understandeth. And write to them the fine knowledge. The gospel, you know, once we've learned it, it's just plain to us. And write to them the fine knowledge. Everything about God, everything about his word, everything about Christ, everything about his gospel is right and plain to them that God's gave knowledge to. We listened to him and said, boy, and we all, every one of us has said this one time or another. I just don't understand why they can't see it.
Yeah.
It's so plain, it's so plain, it's so understandable. Well, a blind man can't see till he gets light, gets sight. But oh my, that's what we, you know, once we see it, we say, why can't everybody see this? Why can't everybody see this? Huh? Oh my. And the Bible's a sealed book. And the gospel's foolishness to the natural man, whether he's educated or uneducated, until God gives him understanding. Till God, as God shined the light out of darkness, even so he shines the light into our hearts to give us the understanding of the gospel and in the person of his blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then look in verse 10 and 11. I believe I'm going to make it. And I love this right here. Now listen to this. You're talking about being how Christ excels everything. He said, receive my instruction and not silver. Would you rather have Christ teach you and instruct you or have money? Huh? And knowledge rather than choice gold. Oh, listen, you want me? You want me? You want my understanding? You want me? You want my relationship with me? Well, then listen, don't be going after silver and gold, because I'm more precious than any of those things. He said, our faith is more precious than gold, yea, fine gold. That's what he said. And then look what else he goes on to say here now. And wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not worthy, are not to be compared to it. Now you take Christ, the wealth and riches we have in Christ is worth more than worth than all the wealth that's in this world put together.
Yeah.
Now I'm telling you, I got a sister, and she, you know, and they, everybody, you know, on TV all the time, buy silver from this person, buy gold from that person. You know, if you need gold, you can do the buy here, and silver you can buy there. Now listen, one thing you can't buy with silver and gold, you can't buy faith, you can't buy Christ, you can't find understanding, and when you leave here, it's like that old woman said, listen, she said, now listen, you put everything I own in the casket with me, all my money in the casket with me. She wrote a check and stuck it in there and said, there, you got it all. So he took it with him, took every penny of it with him, but in a check. But that's right. I mean, you know, we're not taking anything with us. And I mean, and that's what he said. Christ is worth more than anything in this world that you can get your hands on. You buy a car, it wears out, you got to get another. You buy clothes, they wear out, you got to buy more. You get a haircut, you wait a little while, and you got to get another. You buy a house, and after a while, it starts falling down on you if you don't take care of it. And all, but listen, one thing that's eternal and one thing that's precious and one thing we can never lose, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ and our souls. We can't lose that. I'm so thankful for that. I am so thankful for that. Oh, I tell you, we sung that song, when I can reach my God, my heaven, my all. That's real to us. That's not just cliches to us, religious talk. That's real. That's our reality. All right. Look here in verse 12, and we'll go to verse 12, and he says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty things. You know, Colossians said all the treasures of the wisdom of God are in Christ, and all the knowledge and judgment dwell with our Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, you know, and said wisdom, and he said, and I dwell with prudence and find out knowledge. I mean, when he finds out knowledge, what he's telling us is he knows the heart of men. He knows their thoughts. He knows their schemes. He knows everything that they're up to. And then when he says there that he'll find out knowledge of witty inventions, what he's talking about there, he knows the craftiness, the subtleties of Satan, and makes them things known to his people so that they're not deceived. He said they would deceive the very elect if it was possible. But it's not possible. He said, I'll let these people come up with witty inventions, I'll let my people know when they come up with them. I'll make them understand. That's just a witty invention. Stay away from that. And oh my. And look in verse 13. Oh, I love, this is another one. Just the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. You know, the fear and reverence of God Almighty in our heart makes His people hate evil. He said they hate evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. You can't love righteousness and love unrighteousness at the same time. You know, you can't love Christ in the world. And that's what He's talking about. And when, especially when it's found in themselves. Oh my. And especially when we find out, you know, when our pride raises up and our arrogance raises up in ourselves. And I tell you, look over here in Proverbs 16, 18. Let me show you something over here. In Proverbs 16, verse 18. Now, boy, I tell you what. He makes His people hate evil, especially when it's found in themselves. Especially pride. Being arrogant. Look what it said in verse 18. Pride groweth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. I'm telling you two people quickly from the scriptures that did those very things. David got real proud and got real haughty. I'm the king. I can take anything I want. But look what it cost him. And Simon Peter said, Lord, I'll go with you even today. He was so full of pride and he was so arrogant and so convinced how good he was and how strong he was. Lord, I'll go to prison with you. I'll go to death with you if I have to. He is the first one to deny him. And boy, don't you know that he grieved over that the rest of his life? Yeah. Grieved over that the rest. That's what he's talking about. And a froward mouth speaks things contrary to the truth and to the gospel and the good of the Lord's people. Now look with me in verse 14 and we'll go down to verse 16. Let's look at these together. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. You know, when it talks about him being the counsel, he is the very counsel of God. In fact, he's called the counselor, the wonderful counselor, the mighty God. He is wisdom and he's understanding. He's the fountain of it. He's the author and giver of understanding. And he has so much power and so much strength and so much authority in this world that it says here, you know, by me, kings reign. There's not a king on the face of the earth that Christ didn't put up there. Whether they're a despot, or whether they're a tyrant, or whether they're somebody that cares for the people. And I tell you what, and he says, by me, princes decree justice. By me, princes rule. Even nobles, and even all the judges of the earth. There's not a person reigning in any position in this world that Christ didn't put there. And I mean, and I'll tell you what, and when you look at some of the people he puts up, we have to deal with them. We have to live by them. We have to live in a world run by a bunch of people that Christ put on the throne and lets them see how foolish they are. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, when we look at how foolish some of these people are and how they don't care about anybody but themselves and their power. And here's the thing about it. And we have to live with that and have to live in a world like this. And we have to honor God and be true to Christ and bless His holy name and not be led astray by anything in this world. I don't care who the leader is. And I tell you, you know, everything, you know, it said over in Colossians, by Him, all things exist, and by Him all things consist, and He upholds it by the word of His power. And He's raised up some awful, awful wicked people in this world. He delivered his own people to Babylon, and then they went in and took all the gold and all the gold cups and everything that was in the temple. They stole it all and went over to their old heathen country and took God's things, silver cups and gold cups, and drank wine out of it. Until all of the handwriting on the wall says, "Thou weighed in the balance and found wanting." And I tell you, everybody's weighed in the balance and found wanting unless they're in Christ.
Amen.
Huh? I mean, we got sense enough to put them in the waist and find out that they're out of balance. Then look at verse 17. Oh, here's your wonderful verse. I love them that love me. I love them. Ain't that something Christ said? I love them. I love them. Huh? And those that seek me early shall find me. Now we know our Lord loves his people. But I tell you what, we love those, but he loved us before we ever loved him. And we love him because he loved us. And we get up and we, you know, the only people who seek Christ, the only people who seek the Lord Jesus Christ are those who see their need of Christ. And they know something of the worth of Christ. They know something of the glory of Christ. And they seek him early. And we find him. When we seek him, we find him. Because he's right there always for us and with us. And then let me show you here in verses 18 through 21. Riches and honor are with me. Oh my. Yea, durable riches and righteousness. What I give you, it'll last you. It'll last you forever. That's what he's talking about. Riches and honor, I give it. My fruit is better than gold and fine gold. My revenue is than choice silver. What I give you out of my treasure is more than that. And he said, and I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment. I mean, our Lord Jesus Christ said, I lead in the way of righteousness. I walk in the way of, I read in, I live in them. And as a shepherd, he takes care of his sheep, and he leads them that way. And then look what he says, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I'll fill their treasure. He said, I'm going to give them something of substance. We have substance. He gave us substance. And then look what he says, and I'm going to fill their treasures. I'm going to fill them up. Oh my, we come in here and Christ fills us with the treasures of grace and mercy, kindness, compassion, righteousness, justification, forgiveness. And how he, and I tell you what he gives us has substance to it. Everything in this old world is just vain and shadowy. What we have is real. You know, people, they don't understand that. They don't understand because they don't have faith. They don't understand faith. They don't understand what it is to believe and actually see Christ by faith. That's to see the glory of Christ, the worth of Christ, the value of Christ. They don't see it. They don't understand it. But it's substance to us. When we come in here, he gives us substance, something to sustain us, something that has substance to it that'll keep us. You know, we eat meals to keep our bodies going. And most of us eat enough to keep two or three bodies going. But we ought not do that. But anyway, what I'm saying is we have to have substance. But Christ, when he gives us the gospel, he gives us substance that we can go out in the world and live by it. And make it from one service to the next. And we look forward to coming in there and get some more substance. Get something to hold us up. Get something to feed us. All right. Let me go down here in verse 22. I'm going to make this. I believe I'm going to make it. I ain't been 30 minutes yet. Look what he says here in verse 22. And this, we just read this. Now this is about Christ and his eternality. God said, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his ways. I was his son before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, before the earth was ever made. Huh? There was no depths. There was no depths in the earth. There was no depth in the sea. There was no depth to the sky. I was brought forth when there was no fountains abounding with water. Before he set the mountains and they all settled down before the hills, I was brought forth. While he yet not made the earth or the fields or the highest part of the dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there with him. When he set a circle on the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he straightened the fountain of the deep, when he said, see, this is as far as you can go and you can't go no farther. And when he appointed the foundations of the earth, where was I? I was right beside him. Huh? I was right beside him. I was brought up with him. We were together. And listen to this. And I was daily his delight. Oh, he delighted in me, rejoicing always before him. That's what God thought about his blessed son. Daily his delight, rejoicing in him always before him. And okay, let me look what he goes on to say in verse 31. Rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth. Oh my. And my delight were with the sons of men. I delighted to be able to come and save sinners. Delighted in the sons of men. I delight in them. And oh, now listen to what he says. Now let me wind it up here in verse 32. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Oh, he said, those that heard his voice did not with them cry out, those that heard the voice and received my words. And that's what he says, now hearken unto me. Where in the world shall we go if not to Christ? To whom shall we go? Oh my. For blessed are they that keep my ways. Blessed is the man who hears and bows to the gospel and bows to the Lord Jesus Christ. And blessed is the hear instruction and be wise and don't refuse it. Oh my, don't refuse the truth. Blessed is the man that heareth me. Oh my, here's the Lord Jesus. Our Lord Jesus said, blessed are your eyes, for they see. Blessed are your ears, for they hear. For many righteous men have desired to hear and see what you have and ain't. And that's what he says. Blessed the man who hears and waits for me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors, waiting at the door for Christ. Go in and hear Christ first, to hear our teacher, to sit at his feet like Mary did. Then look what he said. Whosoever findeth me finds life, and he'll have the grace of the Lord. He'll have favor with God. For whoever findeth me findeth light, and shall obtain favor. Oh, the happiness and joy of those who know Christ, are found of Christ and found Christ to be everything to them. But listen to this. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. They that hate me, you know what they're saying? I love dying. I love death. There's a great joy and happiness as in us knowing Christ. And who in the world can tell of the misery that's going to happen with those that hate him? That hate him. Oh, there's lots of people in this world that hate him. They really, truly do. They do. Our Father, thank you for your great mercy and grace in Christ. Thank you for allowing us to speak tonight. I pray that what's been said is a blessing, encouraging, enlightening, bringing understanding, bringing hope, bringing peace, bringing assurance, bringing comfort. And Lord, we know and we feel in our heart of hearts that we need you more than anything in this world. Yeah. We need our relationship with you. We need everything you have, and give us everything you've got. And Lord, we have everything that we need, everything we could desire in you. And Lord, help us to walk, talk, live, honor, and bless you while we live and while we have breath. God bless our dear saints. God bless Daryl and Joyce, those that are traveling. Keep these dear saints until they can worship with us again. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Just sing that wonderful old chorus that we love so much. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim. Ain't that so? Ain't that so? Well, I made it. I done it. And I tell you what, that's a good thing.